This is a long-standing regulation, and thus Haridas Thakur, although certainly competent and qualified to enter the temple, did not want even to go near it. This is called Vaishnava humility. And also Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, as well as Haridas Thakur, they did not enter the temple. They did not disturb the custom of the Jagannath temple by breaking any rules or trying to break those rules. What?
It was said that just those who follow, not those
who are out of Varnashram Dharma, which out, those people who are not following properly. The thing is, it's also, of course, very loose now, but the point is that if they're not actually in the Varnashrama and actually following the life of a Shudra or a Vaishya or Kshatriya or Brahmana, in other words, those who are sort of basically outcast, they're not allowed in. India, I mean, gets a lot of criticism for the caste system, but some of the castes are like untouchable. They're not allowed to come into the temple, those who are eating the pigs and eating stuff like that. They're out of the system. They may be Hindu in their general, identification, but they're not following properly. You still see today eating the pigs, catching the pigs, killing the pigs, eating the pigs. And not only killing the pigs, in India there's this idea that if the pig dies a long agonizing death, somebody discovered that the meat tastes better. And so I've heard it, and all night, screaming at these pigs. And it was a slaughterhouse where they killed the pigs slowly so that the meat tastes better. And who ever discovered that? Oh, let's experiment and see how the meat tastes according to how it dies. Anyway, so this kind of person, in the Jagannath temple, they have the guards who were there, those who were, keeping an eye on everything, and they don't allow that section to come in. I mean, that maybe we're going to the extreme and we're saying that, but the idea of the Jagannath temple is that those following Varnashram Dharma, those in some religious life, they will come into the temple.
And how can you recognize which ashram?
That's up to them how they recognize. They have some way to recognize. And we have a devotee from South India, and you may have heard of this devotee. Anyway, this devotee from South India, he went to the Jagannath temple and they would not let him into the temple. They said, "You are a foreigner, you are not in this line." And he's Indian, fully Indian, but very fair skin. And in South India, they do have fair-skinned people, Brahmanas also. And he's from a good family in South India. Anyway, they would not let him in. He's Gurudev's disciple. Guru Maharaj's disciple. It's Guru Maharaj's disciple. He's... And they wouldn't let him in. Not only wouldn't let him in, but he'd already gone in, so therefore he's broken the rules. So they have the strong bamboo stick, they get him, they arrest him, they put him into one jail cell, and they say, "You have broken the rules of the temple, we are going to beat you, punish you, and kick you out." And he said, no, I'm from Hyderabad or Secunderabad. I'm from Secunderabad. From India, I don't. And then they start to think and they say, "Okay, we know someone from Secunderabad. If he can vouch you are from there, then we'll let you go. Otherwise, they're going to beat you." And this devotee, he told me very clearly, very graphically. He said, I'm thinking, how many millions, it's one of those big places, Secunderabad, Hyderabad, the millions of people live there. And he said, out of millions of people, how will they identify I'm from Secunderabad? So only he said, "All I can do, I'm praying to Jagannath, I'm just coming to see you, they're doing this to me." And then after like an hour or two or something, like he's in there for a while waiting for the guards to come with their sort of person who's going to identify him. And then when the guards came and he walked in, it was one of his school friends who lived in the, just on the street behind his house. And then came in. So they may not recognize, also, they may not recognize properly. But they have some idea of.
So after she came into the temple?
Yeah, then he went to the temple, yeah. This is Krishnananda Prabhu. I don't think any of you met him before. He's not been... He came to Navadvip maybe 1 year before Gurudev disappeared, maybe 2 years before he disappeared. He came during the Gaura Purnima, quite by surprise. And he is one of our genius devotees. He's an IQ of like off the wall somewhere. And if you ask him, what was your job before you were a devotee? I'm an inventor. Inventor. And he invented various things. But if you're an inventor, you have to be smart for the copyrights. So he invented so many things which other people took the copyright and made so much money. But he was an inventor and he was educated in Yale University in America. Yale, you know about universities. Yale is one of like the top universities in America. But he's Indian. And that devotee, Krishnananda, also, he's the one who became a sadhu for some time. He's Guru Maharaj's disciple. He joined to Guru Maharaj the same year that I came to Guru Maharaj, because we actually met him and I preached to him and converted him. I can't say converted him, but he was something shelterless and met him, and he joined in perhaps August of 1982, came to Guru Maharaj. But so he was serving in the mat for many years. And then it just got in his head that he's going to be a sadhu. Huh? Well, the sadhu, like Indian sadhu, were just, not Babaji as such, but like sadhu. They just go, they beg each day for some food and they go from holy place to holy place. And to some, there's some appeal to that. It's renunciation in some way, or at least the idea of renouncing. But he went off, and so he left the temple to become a sadhu. This is after Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj has already left by this time, and it is probably 1994 or something like this. It's Gurudev's time. And he went, and we didn't hear from him for maybe 2 years. Oh, it was before 1994, because then he came back. And he came back. At that time, he came back. We are in Calcutta, in Dum Dum Park, when it was a small bungalow. Not even from here to here. A small bungalow. Now is a temple. The temple, the Nath Mandir, everything. Where the Nath Mandir is, the front of the Nath Mandir, was a small bungalow. A broken kind of leaking roof bungalow, even where the deity, where the altar was. We had a bucket beside the altar to catch the leaking water. But Gurudev didn't spend any money on that house because he knew, oh, we're going to make here a nice place. So he didn't spend anything for like fixing the leak, because it's just wasted. The house is going to go as soon as we get the permission and everything, the paperwork through. But we are there, it was the afternoon, Gurudev was out or resting I think, he was resting that afternoon. And then he came and he sort of met us and said, this is a sadhu, and this was a sadhu, and really long beard, long hair, and cloth everywhere, and hair, like his beard, like grew everywhere, just his little eyes were left. And really, this was like a sadhu. And I didn't recognize him at all. And this sadhu is there, and he's just hanging out on the veranda, just a small veranda at the front. And he'd asked somebody, where is Gurudev? I've come to see Govinda Maharaj. And we don't know who he is. And then I'm there somewhere, and I heard a voice saying, Mahananda Prabhu. Then I'm kind of thinking, who's saying Mahananda Prabhu? And I'm thinking, look, Mahananda Prabhu. And I think, oh, I know the voice. I recognize the voice, but there's only this thing. You couldn't even see his lips move, like all this beard was everywhere. And it was, then I noticed his eyes, and he said, Mahananda Prabhu. And I saw it's his devotee Krishnananda. And then he'd come back, and he waited for Gurudev. And Gurudev was very, very kind to him, because he'd left, not in any bad way, but he says, I'm going to be a sadhu. And he had gone to be a sadhu. And he left, and then he came back, and he understood after maybe 2 years, he just, you know, this is empty life being a sadhu. I can chant, I can go places, I'm worry-free in that sense, but there's no service, there's no association, actually, of the devotees. Association of other similar people, but none of the devotees. Anyway, he came to Gurudev and said, Gurudev, I understand I've done wrong, I've wasted my 2 years, but please, if you allow me, please allow me to come back, I want to render service again. And Gurudev, happily, he told him, you come back, shave up your head and everything. And then he shaved his head, and then next day he's there, just and looking bright and everything, looking bright. And throughout throughout time, I had several happy conversations with him about being a sadhu. Like the practical things. Because you see, I asked him, how long do you spend each day begging? Where you get your food, where do you sleep? How, they're like practical things of being a sadhu. You see, my little idea is, oh, how will I be a sadhu? And it was interesting. It was quite interesting talking with him. Because he did lead like a renounced life in that sense. But I also asked, and he, surprise to me was, that they spent, he said, actually, how much time begging? Maybe half an hour, maybe 1 hour some days. But we are getting sufficiently within 1 hour. And he said, half an hour, 1 hour. So it's not that you see them, and you often, we associate the sadhu with begging, you know, begging. But he just, they get their food, little bit of something, and then that's it. And I said, well, what do you do the rest of the time? Oh, we just chant and do something. And this was the point, that it's okay to be renounced, but you need to do something. And then he also mentioned about how the sadhus, you meet other people who are like sadhus, then they know where is the free food. So the word is out, you know, you go to this temple on Wednesdays, this temple on Sundays, this temple, you know. And then in Vrindavan, now I've been in Vrindavan for a little while, you do notice like where the prasadam is on which days, because you get all these sadhus, or why are there so many sadhus congregated here? Ah, 9 o'clock they're distributing prasadam. Somewhere like this. But I also asked him, and then also in different places, in different months of the year, they have different festivals, like traditional Hindu festivals. And he says, so the sadhus, they know where to go for these festivals. And I asked him, where did you go? And he told me a whole bunch of places that he went. And I said, so, you know, you walk and collect? He said, no, we don't walk. We take the train. I said, what? So you buy the ticket. No, we don't buy the ticket. Where's sadhu? They never take any money. No. So I did, like, tease him a bit about that. You know, you're a sadhu, but you take the train for free because you're a sadhu. And he said, yeah, but they all do that. And he also, you know, laughing, saying, yeah, we know it's cheating. But he became a devotee. And now he's got his own ashram in Secunderabad. And temple, name on the Sri Chaitanya Sarasat mat, looking very sweet, looking very nice. Well, maybe you should invite him here and ask him why he became a sadhu. Why did you come to the temple? Something is attractive. Something is attractive.
Wasn't it
It should all be the same. It should all be the same. But the point is, becoming sadhu in that sense means living the life of not depending on anything. But you see, it should be the same thing. But in India, definitely, you see, there's a whole range of renounced personalities in different, quote-unquote, you know, forms of renunciation. And this whole... We went to the Kumbh Mela. And Kumbh Mela, you can see, like... all... encyclopedia. Yeah, the, all categories of all kinds of people. And that's why Guru Maharaj said that when we come to religious life, it is a jungle of religion. Like, it's a jungle. If you... Here we have jungle in Thailand, sort of. If you just go into the jungle, how do we find in this whole jungle of different things what is right? And so this way that devotee Krishnananda, I mean, he came to appreciate what Guru Maharaj, the very speciality of Guru Maharaj and Gurudev. After meeting all these people, he never got any satisfaction there. And we are in the Kumbh Mela. That's quite a crazy place. And not helpful for our devotional life, except to remind ourselves of the fortune of what we've got. And I don't know, I mean, there was a lot of footage of recordings of interviews and stuff, but we are interviewing with Nitya Gopal, who's translating. So we're talking to these sadhus and people. And really, very few people we spoke to had anything, you know, like sensible to say in spiritual terms. Whereas if we're to ask any of you to say something about what is our spiritual life, all of you can say something substantial, sensible. And what is, so what are your practices, and what is your practice? What is your goal? Who do you follow? What are your guidelines? I mean, all sorts of just basic questions. You could say, I mean, it's an interesting thing. You see these sort of, they're doing various things. But when you start to talk with them and ask what they're doing, it is very little understanding about what is, you know, spiritual life. Rather, many of them, it's a fashion, almost, or they just happen to, you know, meet these people and get caught into it. And so many are doing it, smoking the dope. While we're interviewing them, I mean, we're interviewing them and they're passing around the chillum, you know, and they're talking supposedly about something spiritual.
Did you meet those, like, synthetic
deer skin? Yes. Be thankful we came to Gurudev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conduct was perfect. That was another thing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cannot be misconstrued. You never see anywhere where he's taking intoxication, where he's being with the women and stuff. He's always pukkar in his behavior. Pukkar. Proper. Pukkar means proper. Okay, we got a little diverted.
Excuse me, where is this place, Sundarabad? Where is it?
South India, yeah. South. Medium south, middle south. I don't know the technical where south, north, where the separate, where they separate. But it's South India, but may not be as South India as Kerala or something. No, they'll say, where South India? There, middle India. I don't know. And Secunderabad and Hyderabad are beside each other.
Hyderabad is Andhra Pradesh.
Maybe. Hyderabad, Secunderabad, and Bangalore is not so far away. In relation to us, it's all South India. There's that ashram that he runs, which is a very simple ashram. Devotees go there and stay sometimes. by Gurudev's wish. But we used to talk every month practically, but I haven't spoken to him for a while. He probably thinks I've dropped off planet Earth. And he is such a genius, but he cannot catch this thing about the internet. But yet he's so well educated. But he's very traditional. He's too much of a sadhu. I do sometimes wonder now how long his beard and hair is, whether he's keeping it tidy. But I was there. Anyway, when he joined to Guru Maharaj, he was married, sort of fairly newly married, and I went to the hospital. Now, this is how we get to talk about one particular person. But we know so many devotees. We lived in India so long and met these devotees. We went to the hospital the day after his son was born. So like in the hospital and this little baby. And babies are amazing. I mean, it's a miracle. Life comes from life. But babies are born, and immediately they're born. You understand, he can see around, he's taking everything in. And now his boy is 30 years old or something. More than 30 years old. That baby is 30-something years old. But he also was blessed in one sense, that his wife left him. His wife left him. She was got very frustrated that my genius husband is becoming a devotee. So she didn't, sometimes it's very difficult for the wives to follow the husbands when they become devotees, or for the husbands to follow their wives when they become devotees. Anyway. Maybe. But for whatever reason they come, then it doesn't matter. We don't know how, everybody's got their own way, why we join the temple. And Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita says, some come through out of desperation, some come out of inquisitiveness, some come out of
knowledge.
Oh, yeah, inquisitiveness, yeah, inquiry. Desperation. What are the other symptoms? For food, did he say? No, what is it saying? Bhagavad Gita. We all read Bhagavad Gita. Every one of us here reads. We've done that one. That's one. And desperation is two. But I think there were two more things. They come for money.
For wealth.
They come for wealth, they come out of desperation, they come for spiritual life, and weren't the four things?
Fear, desperation.
Fear. Okay, homework for you. We're all doing some homework. This is your homework. It's easy homework. You can do in 2 minutes. Okay, let's get back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's get back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. How did we get onto all this? Oh, because Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, and others, they did not go into the Jagannath temple. And only people could go there were those who are good boys and good girls following the system. All right. What?
Did Gurudev allow him to open this temple?
No, it was by Gurudev's instruction. It's a long story. Krishna Andrew, we're remembering you today. I should try to call him later. I've got his phone number through Skype, we can call him. We're remembering him today. But anyway, from being renounced and his wife leaving him and all sorts of things, then presently his parents died. And so he got an inheritance, and he actually got the house, the family house. But then after the court cases of other family members of trying to, but he doesn't deserve it, we should have it kind of thing. Then, all went to court. Then finally, the settlement was, he got, and it was a nice house, it was like on different soil, so he got one level of the house, and then somebody got whatever part, and there were three levels of the house, so he got one level of the house, and then that was something. No, now he's got some part of the house, now he's got some money, because he came from like a wealthy family, and then anyway, he was ready to give it all, to just, he said, and I'm there with him and Gurudev, and he's saying to Gurudev, I can just give it all to my family, why do this, this is come to, you know, this has come for service, why you just give it to your family, we'll use it for service, like this. And then, anyway, bit by bit, then Gurudev, he made that decision for him, you open a center there, use it for seva. So in some small way he's doing, and he's a sincere person, but he needs assistance. I know from our days with him that you need somebody to be with him to go out to meet other people. And my first accident on a motorcycle in India was on the back of his motorcycle in Secunderabad. And of course, anyway, after that, honestly, we had this accident, and I'm left on the road under the motorbike, and he, because when you're riding, you tend to be able to see what's happening and get off, you know, you sort of get off. So anyway, he got off the motorbike, as it, somehow he left the motorbike. All these things happen so fast, but he anyway left the motorbike. I was under the motorbike, but I'm under the motorbike, and then all that I'm seeing is that there's a huge shouting argument between him and the other rider, and all this group of people are there. And I think, okay, you know, but anyway, you know, we got ourselves out afterwards. But it was a classic thing of who is right and who is wrong, and it's just the shouting argument. So that was it. Krishnananda Prabhu, why do you remember? I hope he's okay, we're not remembering him for some special reason. But he's a good person, and Gurudev, I mean, of course, Gurudev liked like honest, simple, open people. So everybody does wrong, and he made some mistakes here and there, but he was a good person. Was a good person. Is, I hope. All right. No more questions. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nibritte totta majje stana jadi paya taham padi raho ekkale kala gonaya. And I really couldn't tell you the meaning of that verse. Nibritte totta majje. Anyway, Haridas Thakur then expressed his desire. If I could just get a solitary place near the temple, I could stay there alone and pass my time. So remember, this is when they come to Puri. Basically for the first time they've come. So Haridas hasn't got a place yet. So Haridas Thakur then expressed to the devotees, because the devotees went to him and said, the Lord wants to meet you, please come. Haridas said, I cannot go near the temple because I'm a low caste, abominable person. I have no authority to go there. And then Srila Prabhupada said, although he was an exalted Vaishnava, he followed so as not to disturb anybody what was the conduct appropriate for one who is from the out of the castes background. All right? So, if I could just get a solitary place near the temple, I could stay there alone and pass my time. I do not wish the servants of Lord Jagannath to touch me. I would remain there in the garden alone. That is my desire. Jagannatha seva kera mora sparsha nahi hoya taham padirahon mora e vancho hoya. So now Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying, when this message was relayed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the people, The Lord became very happy to hear it. Ekata lokagya prabhure kohila shunya prabhura mane boro sukha hoila. And now we know the word sukha means
happy.
And dukkha? Unhappy. Yeah, sukha and dukkha. So he was maha sukha, right? He was very happy. I lost the verse. Became very happy. Oh, bara sukha, boro. Boro is big, chotto is small. Chotto haridas, boro. Chotto, boro. So he was bara sukha, very happy. Then, at this time, Kashi Mishra, along with the superintendent of the temple, came and offered his respects unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is in Bengali, Hena Kale Kashi Mishra Paricha Dui Jana Ashya Korila Prabhura Charana Vandana. Pretty much. Upon seeing all the Vaishnavas together, Kashi Mishra and the superintendent became very happy. Shuka Bora Paila. With great happiness, they met with the devotees in a befitting manner. Okay? Bengali. Sarva Vaishnava Deki Sukha Bora Paila Jata Yogya Shabasane Anande Milila. So, almost we can understand it. Prabhu Pade Dui Jana Koila Nivedana. Nivedana. Submission. Surrender. Agya Deha Vaishnavera Kori Samadhane. Samadhane. Accommodation. Acha. Both submitted. So this is Kashi Mishra and the superintendent of the temple. Paricha. The superintendent of the temple. Both submitted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please give us orders so that we may make proper arrangements to accommodate all the Vaishnavas. Sabara Kariachi Vasa Grihastana Mahaprasada Sabakare Kari Samadhana. Accommodations have been arranged for all the Vaishnavas. Now let us distribute Mahaprasad to all of them. Prabhu Kahe Gopinata Jaha Vaishnava Loya Jahan Jahan Kahe Vasha Tahan Deha Loya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately told Gopinatha Charja, please go with the Vaishnavas and accommodate them in whatever residences Kashi Mishra and the temple superintendent offer. Okay? Mahaprasadanna Deha Vaninata Stane Sava Vaishnavera Iho Kariba Samadhane. Then the Lord told Kashi Mishra and the temple superintendent, he told them, as for the remnants of food left by Jagannath, let them be delivered to Vaninath Roy's charge, for he can take care of all the Vaishnavas and distribute Mahaprasad to them. Then Mahaprabhu was still giving instruction. Amara nikate e pushpera udyane ekka khani ghara ache parama nijane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Kashi Mishra and the superintendent. Amara nikate, oh, we already read that. He said, nearby my place in this garden of flowers is a single room that is very solitary. Please give that room to me, for I have a need for it. Indeed, I shall remember the lotus feet of the Lord sitting in that solitary place. And that second part is, Se ghara amake deha ache prayojana nibrite vasya tahan kariba smarana. Acha. Se ghare amake deha. That's, we can understand. Se ghare, that room, amake Amake, give to me. Amake deha. Sorry, amake, to me, deha, give to me. Ache prayojana. There is necessity. Prayojana, yeah. Ache prayojana. There is necessity. Nibrite. Nibrite. In the solitary place. Vasya. I say boshun. Vasya. Vasya. Sitting. Taha. There. Koribasmaran. I shall remember the Lord. Hare Krishna. Perhaps it was this that Krishnananda was thinking about. I sit in a solitary place and remember the Lord. Hare Krishna. Ooh, long purport. Oh, and it's about how neophyte students are not to imitate. Oh, look at that. Neophyte students are not to imitate sitting in a solitary place and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We should all remember that it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself who wanted such a place, either for himself or for Haridas Thakur, as we should find out. No one can suddenly attain the level of Haridas Thakur and sit down in a solitary place. Later on, the point is that one should not try to imitate Haridas Thakur at the beginning of one's transcendental life. One must first become very mature in devotion and thus receive the approval of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one simply imitates advanced spiritual life, he will fall down, just like the Sahajiyas in Vrindavan. Okay, we'll read it just a little bit too, because this is coming up. Mishra kahe sabatomara chahe ki karane apana ichchayalaha ke tomara mane. Kashi Mishra said to Mahaprabhu, everything belongs to you. What is the use of your begging? By your will you can take whatever you like. Ami dui hoi tomara dasa agyakari je chaha se agya deha kripa kori. My Lord, we are your two servants, and we are here just to carry out your orders.